Let's move on now to health news. There's a significant shift in the thinking regarding how to avoid a major medical error during pregnancy. It has to do with misdiagnosing ectopic pregnancies. These are pregnancies that develop outside of a woman's uterus, often in the fallopian tubes.
Sometimes a pregnant woman may experience complications. Typically, she visits the doctor or emergency room, where physicians perform several tests which may lead them to conclude the woman has an ectopic pregnancy. Ectopic pregnancies can be extremely dangerous for the mother's health, so doctors tend to administer the cancer drug methotrexate immediately to end the pregnancy.
Now, most of the time, this is the correct treatment, but there have been cases where the woman actually had a normal pregnancy, which was also terminated by the methotrexate. Now, a new paper in the New England Journal of Medicine proposes brand new guidelines to avoid such a devastating medical error. Carrie Goldberg, co-host of WBUR's Common Health Blog, is here with more. Hi there, Carrie.
Hi, Meghna.
There's a lot to go through explaining what the current medical thinking is about this, but let's take a step back, because you actually have a friend who went through this. I wonder if you could tell us her story.
Right. I mean, that's what prompted me to write about this initially. So we have this wonderful family friend who not long ago was newly married, and she very much wanted to have a baby. And she found that she was having some pelvic pain and bleeding, and she went in to be treated. And she was told that this was apparently an ectopic pregnancy, which can potentially be dangerous. It can be life-threatening. And she was immediately prescribed methotrexate, which is this cancer drug that's also used as part of a combination of the abortion drug prescription. And she went home and was continuing to have some pain and bleeding. When she came back a few days later, she was told, oh, oops, sorry, actually, this was not an ectopic pregnancy. This pregnancy was in your uterus where it's supposed to be. But because we gave you methotrexate, which is a known cause of harm, of birth defects, horrible birth defects, that it's meant to end a pregnancy, because we gave you methotrexate, this pregnancy is probably not going to be able to continue. And she miscarried soon afterwards.
So just to reiterate, though, the doctors gave her the methotrexate initially because they thought that she had an ectopic pregnancy.
Right.
And so it was with the best of intentions, because
Absolutely.
Those pregnancies are so very dangerous for
they
the woman.
They can be very dangerous, okay. Yes. And so this was very well-meant medical treatment. It wasn't negligent, but it nonetheless was a really heartbreaking medical error.
So how common is this?
So we do not know. There's no national database of medical errors, but we do know from this paper that just came out in the New England Journal of Medicine that it's not as rare as we might have thought. And in fact, I spoke with the lead author, Dr. Peter Dubelet, and he said that he knows of dozens and dozens of cases in which this has actually led to lawsuits.
Well, we actually have Dr. Dubelet here with us in the studio. Peter Dubelet is Senior Vice Chair of Radiology at Brigham and Women's Hospital. He's also a professor of radiology at Harvard Medical School. And as you said, he's the lead author on this new paper that appears in the New England Journal of Medicine. Dr. Dubelet, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you.
So first of all, I wonder if you could just explain to us, what is it about current guidelines that doctors follow regarding diagnosing ectopic pregnancies that can lead to the kind of misdiagnosis that Carrie described?
Starting around the 1980s and 1990s, doctors developed guidelines for diagnosing ectopic pregnancy based on the pregnancy blood test in combination with ultrasound. One of the guidelines said that if the pregnancy test level, it measures something called the HCG, if that level is above a discriminatory level of about 2,000 and you see nothing in the uterus, that the patient can't have a normal intrauterine pregnancy, probably has an ectopic, and they would treat with methotrexate.
So, for example, in a case that you might be considering, if that 2,000 level tells you that a woman is pregnant and she's a certain way along, but if the ultrasound can't see the pregnancy in the womb, is that what makes doctors then think that it's ectopic?
That's correct.
So describe to us then, you know, what you've written in the paper and why you think that there needs to be some adjustment to these guidelines.
So a number of studies done over the last few years has shown that the discriminatory level that was previously used is not foolproof. In other words, a woman can have an HCG level, a pregnancy test level, above the discriminatory level, have nothing seen on ultrasound, and then come back a few days later and has a nice normal ultrasound.
Well, let me ask you, though, because I always thought that ultrasound technology was pretty sophisticated in this day and age. The imaging is quite incredible, especially later in pregnancy. So is it possible that a normal pregnancy can't be seen in the uterus even early on?
Absolutely. A pregnancy starts out at a microscopic level, and ultrasound, great as it is, can't see microscopic structures inside the body. It's only when it gets to a certain size, a fairly small size, but it has to reach a certain size before you can see it on ultrasound. In most cases, you can actually see the first evidence of an ultrasound at about 5 weeks of pregnancy.
Mm-hmm. But it sounds like what you're saying is that the previous guidelines, which required both an HCG level above 2,000 and confirmation through ultrasound, that perhaps those guidelines are potentially misleading or inadequate. So you're recommending what?
Assuming that the patient is stable, the recommendation is to wait at least a couple of days to confirm the diagnosis of ectopic pregnancy or to see an intrauterine pregnancy. Wait a couple of days before deciding what to do, before actually treating the patient with a drug that could harm an intrauterine pregnancy. Mm-hmm. So the bottom line is, if the patient is stable and there is not a definitive diagnosis of an ectopic pregnancy, don't treat as if she has an ectopic pregnancy.
Don't presume.
Don't presume.
Carrie, you know, we started this conversation because you had a friend who had gone through this. What response have you received so far to your post on this issue on the Common Health blog?
There have been several very interesting responses from various women who had various types of misdiagnosis. But the one that I think it might be helpful to have Dr. Dubilet respond to was a woman who wrote that she almost died last year from an ectopic pregnancy. She was told an hour or two more and she wouldn't have survived. So she worries that this message coming out may actually delay effective treatment. So Dr. Dubilet, how would you respond to that?
I certainly don't want to give the misconception that ectopic pregnancy cannot be life-threatening. Ectopic pregnancy can absolutely be life-threatening. The situation that I'm focused on here and that I'm talking about here is a woman who is stable and on ultrasound shows absolutely no signs of internal bleeding. Those are the cases in which it is safe to wait a couple of days if there's any doubt about the diagnosis. Certainly, if a woman is in serious medical condition such that she might die or suffer severe complications if nothing is done immediately, those cases are not what I'm talking about here, and those do need to be treated immediately.
Well, Dr. Peter Dubilet is Senior Vice Chair of Radiology at Brigham and Women's Hospital and a Professor of Radiology at Harvard Medical School. He's also lead author on this new paper that appears in the New England Journal of Medicine. Dr. Dubilet, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
And Carrie Goldberg, co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog. Her post is available at commonhealth.wbur.org. Carrie, thanks so much.
You're welcome, McNabb.
And stay with us. Up next on the program, concern about how Emerson College is handling allegations of sexual assault on campus. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.